Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. This is one of the most important verses in the Bible. Proverbs 13, 13 says, Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Here's the deal. The Word of God is true. Every single word in this Bible on my desk from which I quoted that scripture is absolutely true. I've got some doubts about modern Bibles. I don't have some doubts. I've got some certainty about it. They've changed the word so that not every word in there is true. But every word in here is true. Every word. Every single word in there. All we have to do is read it, believe it, and do it. And we will as long as we fear it. But when a person comes along and says no to believing it, no to reading it, no to doing it, no to fearing it, you know what the problem is? He's in big trouble. Because the Bible says he will be destroyed. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. It doesn't make any difference who he is. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some of the destroyed despisers and draw a conclusion from that. Then we're going to look at some of the rewarded fearers, and we're going to draw some conclusions from that. Because we want this to be firmly planted in our minds based upon what the Bible says. You cannot despise the Word of God and get away with it. And to despise it means to do despite what it says. In other words, here's a guy that goes to church, he prays, He reads his Bible, but he decides that he wants to fornicate. And the Bible says, if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. It says flee fornication. The guy does, and what happens to him? He gets a disease. What happened? He did despite unto the Word of God. Now listen, it's a very simple and very practical thing that we're talking about here today. This topic, this doctrine, this proverb is practical. It's not one of those, the burger man's going to get you if you don't do good type proverbs. When he says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, it's because God's words are true, and when you violate those words, you suffer the consequences. When I go contrary to the words of God, I suffer the consequences. It's just that simple. Look in Jeremiah chapter 36. Let's look at some of the people that were despisers of the words of God that were destroyed for their despite. Okay? In Jeremiah chapter 36, the whole chapter is very simple. Jeremiah is given instruction from the Lord to take the roll of a book, give it to a fellow named Baruch. Jeremiah is locked up in prison. Jeremiah speaks, Baruch writes. It's dictation. Then Baruch is to take what he's written down, to go over there to the temple when the people are coming in, read from the words of God that have been written down in the book, so that everybody can hear it. It's a public meeting. It's street preaching. Well, when the people heard it, they said, we got to find out more about this. And eventually, they take that book that Baruch wrote when Jeremiah spoke and take it before the king. Watch what happens in Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 20. They went into the king under the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. So you get the scene. There's some guys gathered around here. There's the king sitting in a chair, the king's chair. Jehudi stands up to read, and he's standing by the fireplace to keep themselves warm during the wintertime. Verse 23, and it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid. What was the problem? They did not fear the words of God. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. They went right despite and did not fear the words of God spoken by Jeremiah, written by Baruch, and delivered to the king. They were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he wouldn't hear them. And what was the consequence? Verse 31, I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. What was in the book? What was in the book was the things that God was going to do to that city and do to that king and do to that family and do to those men. And they would not fear the Lord. And so God said, everything that I pronounced that I would do in that book, I'm going to do. If they had listened to that and said, oh man, this is terrible that God's going to do all that, and repented, God would have never done any of it. But they didn't fear him. And he destroyed them, and he destroyed Jerusalem, and he destroyed Judah as a result of their despite. They despise the words of God. Now there's the principle. You don't want to miss that. That is so absolutely real and so absolutely true today that it scares me to death to just to preach this to you. Because for this concern, you don't want to take what you hear and go, that's not for me. It is for you. Look at 1 Kings chapter 13. I'll show you how it goes. Here's a young prophet. This man, boy, I'll tell you what, he's unnamed, but he surely had God on him because he went and stood before a king named Jeroboam. It's in 1 Kings chapter 13. The king Jeroboam is the new king of the 10 tribes of Israel. This young prophet goes in, and I mean with all of the guts and courage of a roaring lion, he goes right in before the king who is sacrificing at an altar. The king's hand withers, the altar is going to be broken into pieces, and the bones of the priests that sacrificed on the altar are going to be burned on that altar. And that's what he tells the king. Boy, you talk about courage, man. You talk about guts. And the king invited him to eat with him because he knew what the young man had said was true. And the young man said, I was told by the Lord, by the word of God, go in one way, go out another, don't stay for anything to eat. Don't stay for anything to drink. And he said in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 17, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread. You're reading it. You are reading the word of God that was spoken to the young prophet. Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Now, an old prophet in town found out about him. And the old prophet came up to him and he said, why don't you go with me? And you know, the young prophet said exactly the same thing. He said what he said in verse 17 to the old prophet. I can't do it. I can't eat with you. I can't drink with you. I can't go back with you. I can't even go back the way I came in. And the old prophet in verse 18, look. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Well, the young prophet believed what the man said, followed him back, ate and drank with him, got back on his ass, walked out of town, and was killed by a lion. He was destroyed. Why? Because God had given him specific instruction by the word of the Lord exactly what he was supposed to do, and he violated that at the mouth of an old prophet without checking the word of God. God, if God had spoken to him through the words and had changed that, God himself would have given him the change, not the old prophet that lied to him. And the young man died. Why? Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. And this was a good young prophet. In other words, you may be a fine Christian man, a fine Christian woman, but when you go contrary to the words of the God, you are setting yourself up for a real problem. Let me show you another one in Jeremiah chapter 28. This is going to be a fellow named Hananiah. He was a prophet. Now, Jeremiah spoke under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and told everybody, listen, the captivity of the Jews in Babylon is going to last 70 years. 70 years. Well, Hananiah, he didn't buy it. So he spoke in the presence of all the people, and this is what he said in Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 11. He said, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Jeremiah just walked off. The man was lying. God did not speak to him. He made that up in order to convince the people not to despair about the Babylonian captivity. He despised the word of God. So Jeremiah went back to him, and he said in verse 15 of Jeremiah 28, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month, and the captivity went on till 70 years, just like Jeremiah spoke. What happened to him? He got it, man. He got what was coming to him, because our text says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Look at another one. You see, in the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. We'll give you five, six, how many ever you need, until you and I get it firmly planted in our heads that when God says something and we get out of line with what God says, we are set up for destruction. Exodus chapter 9, Moses and Aaron send in the plague of hail, and they send out a warning in verse 19. Just like the Jews send in a warning to southern Lebanon, we're coming in, you better get out. And those civilians that were forced to stay or decided to stay under fear of the Hezbollah that are getting killed, they had a chance to leave. It's their own fault if they die. Exodus chapter 9, verse 19, Moses says, I'm going to send hail. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He gave them a chance to go. Look at verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And you know what happened to the servants and the cattle that were left in the field? They all died. Why? Despise the words of God. You despise the word of God, you set yourself up for destruction, particularly when God says you do this and you're going to die. And you go ahead and do it anyway, and you die, and you go, wow, I wonder how that happened. You went despite the word of God. The Pharisees were told by the Lord Jesus Christ exactly what they needed to do to be saved. They wouldn't buy it. The publicans and the harlots and the sinners that are the ones that got in. And Jesus Christ spoke to them in Matthew chapter 23, and he said, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And they couldn't. Why? They despised the words of God. It's that simple. In Luke chapter 16, the rich man ends up in hell, and he tells Abraham to send Lazarus to go talk to his brothers, because he had five brothers and he didn't want them to end up in this place of torment. Abraham told him in Luke chapter 16, verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. What did he say? Read the words of God. The words of God will tell you, you better straighten up or you're going to wind up in hell. Let them hear them. And the man in hell said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. In other words, you send Lazarus and they know this guy had died. Hey, they'll turn then. And Moses, man, he gave a perfect answer. The point being, it's the Word of God that you need. If you're going to do despite to the Word of God, it doesn't make a difference who rose from the dead. You're not going to get saved. Verse 31 says, And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. In other words, if you're going to despise the words of God, then you're going to despise the witness of a man that rose from the dead. And what are you going to face? Destruction. It's that simple. Destroyed despisers are all of these we just looked at and would include you. If God showed you from the Word of God, as you've heard so many times before, that you needed to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you refused to do it, you'll be destroyed. Plain and simple. We don't want you to be destroyed. We don't want you to wind up in hell. That's why we preach the gospel when we preach the gospel. But that's where you're going to end up if you despise the words of God and refuse to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and make a mockery at sin. You can't do that and get away with it. It's funny, we'll have people that are radio listeners that'll call and they'll say, you know, I've got even friends of mine that I've told to listen to you, and they listen to you once or twice, but they don't really want to because, they don't really agree with everything you say. You know something? I realize that when I speak, I'm speaking directly to you. That's so that you and I can understand that this message that you're hearing today is for you. The other reason is so that you don't misunderstand anything that I say. But you know something? The directness with which I speak and the truth that I bring from the words of God are for one thing and one thing only, your doctrinal edification and your salvation if you're lost. And if a person heard this and they didn't like something that I said from the book, you know what they ought to do? They ought to go to the Bible and check it out for themselves and see if, in fact, what they heard from the words of God is true. And if it is, they oughtn't to despise the words of God, because we're not here for our sakes. We're here for your sakes and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about that? So if there's something that you've been trained in your religion that's contrary to the Word of God and it upsets you to hear that pointed out, the thing to do is not to flip off the radio to say, well, I don't want to listen to that anymore. Go into the Bible, dig through it for yourself, and see if, in fact, the thing that you heard was true. I can assure you, you'll find that it is, and when you do, don't despise it. That's all. Just don't despise it. Because we really, really, honestly and truly, when we pray before we preach, our desire is to help you to glorify God and to edify saints, and to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all there is to it. It's very, very simple. It may be hard to take sometimes, but you know, when you go to the doctor's office, sometimes he'll tell you, you got to take off 20 or 25 pounds. And you don't want to hear that. That's bad news. And it might even offend you that he thinks your waistline is too big. But the truth of the matter is, what he's telling you is something, even though it's going to be hard for you to do, it's going to be something that's going to be good for you in the long run. It's going to help you live a little bit longer and have a healthier life. We're not any different. But we just have to be very straightforward when we tell you, so you understand that what we're talking about is something that needs your serious consideration. Okay, that's what happens to those that despise the words of God. But let's don't end on a negative note. Let's go and look at those that are rewarded for fearing the word of God. He says, Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Well, remember those Egyptians in the hailstorm? There were some that took their servants and their cattle out of the fields. And guess what? All of the servants and all of the cattle that were in the shelter survived the hailstorm. And why? Because they regarded the words of God. They believed what they heard and did something about that. The Jews who went into the Babylonian captivity, remember we were looking at Jehudi and those guys that mocked the words of God? Well, there were some that didn't mock. There were some that actually believed what Jeremiah spoke and willingly offered themselves to go into captivity, believing that if they did, they would survive. And you know what? They did. They did survive. In Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 9, Jeremiah 21, verse 9, the Bible said, "He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence." That's those that decided to remain in Jerusalem. "But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey." You say, can you name somebody that actually went into the captivity and survived it in the city of the Chaldeans? Yes, I can. As a matter of fact, I can name several. They're found in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, but one such that actually wrote a book that you can read in the Bible is a fellow named Daniel. There you go. Some other people that believed God and then are rewarded for fearing His words, that'd be the disciples. The disciples. Jesus told them to leave everything and follow Him. Now that was tough. You know, a rich young ruler was told to do the same thing. He didn't. And he didn't get eternal life. And that's what he came to Jesus for. Well, when he told the disciples to leave, you know, like Matthew, the receipt of custom, or Peter, James, and Andrew and John to leave their fishing business, when he told them to leave that and follow him, they left everything. They forsook it all, according to Peter in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. They forsook it all, everything. And you know what Jesus told them they were going to get for that? He said that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What shot do you think, honestly, that Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew and Bartholomew and all those other disciples, what shot do you think that they had for actually being kings on thrones, ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel for 1,000 years in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? None as fishermen, but as disciples they did. They forsook it all, and they'll be well rewarded. Why? Because they did what Jesus told them to do. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They did, and they're going to be well rewarded. The Ninevites, under the preaching of Jonah, were well rewarded. In Jonah chapter 2, when Jonah went into Nineveh, he didn't spare anything. They were enemies of the Jews. He wanted to see God smoke them. He said, within 40 days, he's going to tear this place up. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's exactly what he said. And you know what? They did not despise the words of God. They didn't say, "You Jewish prophet, who do you think you are coming over here and telling us that? We don't even like you guys. Run out of town, little boy." They didn't tell him that. You know what happened? The king said, "Oh, no." He covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes, caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned them from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. They were rewarded with life. Why? Because when Jonah, the despised Jew, came in to his enemies, the Ninevites, and told them that God was about to overthrow the place, they said, "Well, then we need to get right with God." And God spared them. You know something? Those who fear the commandment are going to be rewarded. You know who that includes? You and me. I said in the other part of this message, the first part, I said, you're going to be one of the destroyed despisers if you don't get saved, because God told you you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you already received Him as your Savior, you're going to be one of the rewarded fearers. Every one of us who has gotten saved is going to be rewarded. Why? Because we feared the Word of the Lord and it turned us to righteousness. You say, "Yeah, but once I'm a Christian, I don't need to fear the Word of the Lord anymore." Yes, you do. Yes, you do. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 31, we read about what was going on with all that great stuff with the early church. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria." That's after Paul got saved. "And were edified," watch it, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. It is right for us as Christians to fear God and to fear His words. Listen, you had to fear Him in order to get saved. Most of us did. I guess some of us fell in love with Him and were so enamored with what He'd done for us we got saved. But I'll tell you honestly, it was the fear of the penalty of a wretched life that turned me to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way that the book reads. Jude, in verse 23, speaks it very clearly. He says, you're going to catch some with love. Jude 22, he says, of some having compassion, making a difference. Some return to the Lord Jesus Christ out of compassion. But look, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I'll guarantee you, I didn't want to burn, and I don't want to suffer the consequences of stupid things I've done since I've been saved. That fear keep me in, you know, keep you right in line with the words of God. Listen, now that we're saved, we're supposed to serve the Lord with fear and trembling, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's right for us to look at these words and go, man, if I keep doing this, I'm going to be in trouble. We need the fear of God to help us prepare for the judgment seat of Christ. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that every one of us is going to have to give account of ourselves before God, of the things that we did in our body, whether they're good or bad. And then he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And he used it. So listen, there are some things written in this Bible that are written in there to scare you. And when you fear the commandments, you'll be rewarded when you believe and do what they say. But if you're going to go on in your life and despise the words of God, you are going to pay for that with destruction. It's that simple. And the purpose of the message today is to encourage you to not despise the words of God, but to fear them and to follow them. And we pray that's been accomplished today for your sake and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.